हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So Bhakti Sandarbha Adhyaya Narun, Adhikarna 5, Supremacy of Bhakti as the Ultimate Path. So then we have Vritti. The next few Anuchedas provide further explanation that the bhakti process is intended for the ultimate benefit, phala, of humans, as disclosed in the conversation between Nard, Muni, and Vyasadeva. We can say, well, also animals, everyone gets benefit, but the first benefit they get is they come to human form of life. And then with Jata Sukriti that they've accrued from, you know, hearing the devotees chant or taking prasad and that, then that will be the basis on which then the next stage they come to, Shraddha, and then they continue, you know, the process. Anucheda 116. Narada teaches Vyas in order that the great Purana makes its appearance. Ato maha bhaga bhavan amogha drik suchi shravas satya rato drita vrataha uru kramasyai kila bandhamuktaye samadhinanu smaratad vicheshtitam. Fortunate one, therefore, since you have useful knowledge, spotless character, dedication to truth, and determined vows, remember with attention the pastimes of the Lord, which bring about liberation from all bondage. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.13. Ataha means therefore, since it was just said. Naiskarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam nashobhane jnanam alam niranjanam kutaf punah shashvad abhadram ishvare nacharpitam karma yad apyakaranam. Even the stage of jnana without the bondage of karma is not glorious if it is devoid of bhakti to the Supreme Lord. What is the use of having destroyed ignorance? What then to speak of sakan karma, which causes suffering, both during practice and the stage of perfection, and nishkarma when not offered to the Lord? Right, because they're pointing out, what's the glory? Because yes, you've gotten to that stage, and then what? You know, it's like saying he climbed to the top of the mountain, and then he falls over and falls down the other side. So what's the point? Great. You know, so it's like child's play, you know, someone who's the first to get to the, you know, the tree, or, you know, we'll play this game and then we change the rules as we go just to give the variety, or so that you can win, or it's just like it, it's all whimsical. It doesn't really mean anything. It's only that we count that karma and jnana have a value because Shastra says so. But its part is to elevate you, is to make it favorable so that you'd be inclined towards bhakti. That's all. Is that because you're in a pious condition from karma and jnana, and because the two processes require that you associate with saintly persons and Brahmins, you know, either in the form of doing samskars and rituals and like this, or just for discussing the topics of mimamsa, like this, that you have to have association. So in that, then you, if you have shown any interest in actual what's going on, you know, who am I and all that in reality, then Krishna is Paramatma, then he will send you in contact with the devotee. Then you'll hear that. Now it's a matter of your choice. Now, do you want to move on into bhakti, or do you want to continue in your, you know, foolishness, or, you know, of thinking that my karma jnana is very important? So that's why sakam, nishkam, karma, or jnana, or if even you're liberated, it doesn't matter, because the soul actually hasn't actually in on the eternal platform benefited themselves. You're dealing with truth means you're dealing with the Shastra, which comes from Krishna. You're dealing with proper performance of action, which is defined by Krishna. You're dealing with coming to that, having knowledge and detachment, which are, coming from the Shastras, which are, Krishna is knowledge. He is renunciation. He is, power, influence, beauty, all these opulences. They're all him and they're all defined in Shastra. But because the point is they're not actually dealing with the relationship with the soul and the Lord, it's not actually considered sat. Means if you say you're talking about the soul, like Vedanta philosophy, then yes, you could say then it's dealing with sat, but the consciousness of the living entity who is working with it is not on that platform. It'd be just like, let us say you have the person in, sitting in his little small dinky room with nothing in it except a little table and a few tools and a big magnifying glass. And what he does is he goes through and sorts diamonds, right? He sits there and sorts thousands and thousands of diamonds. He's dealing with crores and crores of rupees. But just because he's working with that doesn't mean he's on that platform, right? So even though the liberated persons are working with the element of thought, because they're working with the soul and with the concept of Brahman, it doesn't mean that they're actually functioning on the platform of sat, where they have an eternal relationship with the Lord. Because without an eternal relationship with the Lord, they're not actually on the platform of sat. Temporarily, you can say, yeah, the guy's got, one little bag like this of diamonds that he's going to go through and sort today and define which is grade A and B and V1 and this and that and all that kind of jazz. But the point is, so you could say he's associating with, lakhs of rupees, but at the same time he doesn't have one paisa for himself actually. So that's the thing, they're working with sat. So the idea is that it should inspire them to go farther, just like they have elevated themselves from a sinful position up to the most elevated of the mundane positions, of being understanding that they're the soul separate from the body. They understand the concept of Brahman and knowledge. So they've elevated, so they should keep going in the process. That's why it's there. Karma is better than just nonsense. Nishkam karma is better than sakam karma, right? Then the vijnana is better than the karma. Like that. So, but you're supposed to keep going till you get to the point of bhakti. That's the idea. So that's what Narad Muni is pointing out to Vyasadeva, is you brought them up to this point of appreciating, the seeming glory of karma and jnana, but their glory is actually only that they're natural steps in getting to the point of bhakti. They don't take you to bhakti. It's just that as you become purified, you're more likely to make the choice to choose bhakti. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. It's just like you have, let's say you have first class food. I mean, really, really good quality food. The ingredients, how it's cooked, how it's presented, everything is like the best you can get. Right? And now it's been by the devotees offered to Krishna. You don't get any better than that. But now if you have a person who's not hungry, he's not interested. So the choice of choosing to honor the prasad and honoring the prasad, that's actually where the benefit is. But now if he's hungry, then it's natural to make the choice to do that. He could also be hungry and go, oh, I got to pick up my kid from the dentist and then run off and then not eat prasad. Right. So the point is, but there's more of a chance he's thinking he wishes he had eaten the prasad. So at least he's in a better position that there is the desire to eat prasad, even though he hasn't. So then next time it comes up, there's more of a chance that if he can, he'll get it, or Or he'll think, wow, I should have brought it with me, or, you know, something. I could have eaten in the car, you know, something like that. He could have made the arrangements. But at the time he didn't. He was taking that the dentist appointment is more important than the prashad, you know. So one is an important, you know, ordinary dealings that you have to take care of, but at the same time, the spiritual, you know, so it's just an example. So the point is the person on the platform of jnana, then they're going to be more inclined towards these spiritual activities, right? The person on karma is going to be to the point that, it's pious, it's good for you and everything like that. So they're going to be inclined in that way. But at the same time as to make it that that's the way they're going to behave, that may not come up in their life, right? You know, it's like you see pious Indians, you know, you can go to mention them. We can come to your house, do a program, do kirtan, distribute prasad. They're very much into it. They'll work it out. They'll invite their friends. Everyone will have a nice time and all that, but it's not necessary that they surrender. But it's a jnana sukriti. And then at some point, then they decide, okay, let's take this up. Right? Same with the jnanis, like Prakashananda Saraswati. Now here is 10,000 very nicely situated jnanis. Like that, they've studied Vedanta Sutra very nicely and all that. So that's what was their complaint about Lord Chaitanya, is singing in the streets and dancing like a sentimentalist. Why isn't he studying Vedanta? But then when Lord Chaitanya comes and then they discuss, then they find out that, well, Vedanta is trying to get you to become a devotee. And if you're a devotee, then you sing and chant about the Lord. Then they understood what was the shortcoming and why Shankaracharya had done what he had done, you know, to get people from Buddhism into the Vedic fold. But, you know, so you, one step at a time. But now it's time to take the next step, you know. All right, so that's the point, is that Vyasadeva, through his expert writing and everything, has arranged and gotten people to come up to the point of appreciating the you know, going through these stages up to here. And so therefore Dharmartha Kama and Moksha, that all this is considered glorious in line with the Shastra. But they're not appreciating that you have to go beyond to bhakti. They're stuck. So he's pointing out, and you've only taken them that far. They follow Shastra, but in Shastra, you only took them up to this point. You've referred to, you made points, like you can see the Goswamis. When, you know, like here in the Sandarbha, then Jiva Goswami is quoting from all over the place, you know, then Rajasic, Tamasic Puranas, Sattvic Puranas, the whole thing. They're all mentioning something about pure bhakti. But the point is when you have something that's 100,000 verses, Purana, and in it you see that they're quoting like, you know, two, three verses, one verse. So out of 100,000 and there's two, three, there's a few, a handful, you don't notice those, right? You know, unless they're really looking and sincere, but generally that's going to be by association. So they're going to see the prominence, you know, there's so much discussion about Lord Shiva and this and that. And even if they talk about how he's a devotee, they see others worshiping, the benefits he gets, you know, all the different things. So they're going to go for that. That's the whole point. So we have to see is that that's why the Bhagavatam is important, because the whole book is simply about Krishna consciousness. So it's not that that's the prominent theme. No, every verse, every half verse, every phrase, every word, every syllable, right? And Jiva Goswami in his from what I understand in his commentary in the first verse, then he takes the first verse and breaks it down by syllable and show from the first syllable to the last syllable of the first verse is showing all the pastimes that Krishna will perform, you know, when he descends like that. And so that's the point, is that you know, down to that level, then every word, every syllable means that. And that's also what is mentioned by Jaimini. In discussions of hermeneutics and the mimamsas, that you every syllable has meaning. It's not that there's some extra stuff. So if there's a cha or an eti or like that, they have meaning. You know, it's not that it's just there to fill, you know, like, imina, mija, you know, I haven't said anything yet, but I have lots of that fill. in my conversations. So there's no fill. This is all, everything means something. Like anyavi lashita sunyam. So lavi anlavi anyavi la sita. The ita then has meaning, means even in pursuance of anyavi las. Right? Baladevi Dibhushan points that out. So this is then, the point is that there's no fill. It's, everything is important. So the point is that Bhagavatam, every syllable is about Krishna consciousness and some relationship with Krishna and exchange of rasa and everything like that on whatever platform it may be. But it's all coming from, it's not describing Brahman and Paramatma from the Brahman and Paramatma level. It's describing Brahman and Paramatma from the Bhagavan level, that Bhagavan has these three features. He is the actual existence of everything. He is the one that makes everything work. And why to take part in his pastimes between his devotees, right? For the those who are non-devotional, you know, or the devotees have turned, those jivas who've turned away from Krishna, then yes, there's Brahman on its own or Paramatma on its own, you know, that's how they'll view it. That's how they'll realize it. But in actuality, no. For the devotee, he's understanding it in relation to Bhagavan. So there's a difference when the devotee is discussing things about Brahman. You know, like Prabhupada will quote regularly in that point Sarvidam, what's it? Sarvidam? Sarvidam Kalvidam Brahma.
Sarvam Kalamidam Brahma.
Yeah, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. So that everything is Brahman. He's meaning everything is Krishna. So you see everything in relationship to Bhagavan. Bhagavan, it's his existence is what's the existence of everything else. Only seeing his existence without seeing him, the person, then you call it just Brahman. But it's actually Krishna is the existence of everything. That he pervades everything and controls everything. Seeing that without the Lord, then that's Paramatma. You know, or Ishwara. But the point is no, he is the existence. He is the Ishwara controlling everything. Ishwara Parama Krishna. Right? So you're going to get all three there. Ishwara, you know, Paramatma. Para, meaning the transcendental of Brahman, and Krishna, the Bhagavan. So right there in the first three words and are defining all three features of the Lord. And so it's all connected with him. He's all these aspects. That's how, even with the gopis, so they can talk on these levels, but they're just talking about, you know, the situation, the existence of the different things. But that existence then gives rise to the remembrance of that situation, you know, because it's like that. Is, let's say some music. There's some music, and when that music was going on, there was some activity that you were doing that you very much appreciated. So now when I hear that music again, I'll think of that situation. I mean, that situation that I was experiencing something in. So in the same way, even if Krishna and the gopis are discussing the Brahman and Paramatma features, it's simply in the way of the situations and the movements of the energies and all that to remind them of all their relationships with Krishna. So it's just a very subtle way of dealing, just as Krishna says that, you know, the double meaning in words is him, you know, he very much appreciates them, or the hidden feature in a word or a verse is him, because he very much appreciates that, because that is the element of Adi Rasa, that it's about the hidden, about the suggested, about the possibilities, about, you know, just mentioning a situation and then what goes on in that situation. You could go, you know, just like you could say is, let's say every day you go to the park, and every day when you go to the park, you go to, you know, something and get something to eat. So then someone's feeling, yeah, I don't know, well, you know, I'm feeling a little hungry. And then you say, well, we could go to the park. You don't have to say, we go to that shop when we go to the park. You just have to say, we go to the park. Or when you go for a walk, you go to the park. You can say, well, we could go for a walk. And then you think, yeah, we could go to that place. Or you say, let's go for a walk. No, I'd rather, we do all that. I'd rather do this. So there's the subtleties that it has meaning in the conjugal rasa, while in parental friendship and servitorship, generally it's much more direct and everything like that. You just say, you know, what you've said there directly is what you mean. There's no subtleties. There's no obscure meanings necessarily. So that obscurity then is also, we see the jnanis appreciate it because then it gives rise to the speculation. But for the devotees, you know, for here that we're talking about the conjugal rasa, then you're talking about that variety is not for speculation, it's for taste. So that's the thing, is the jnanis speculate with these things and just, oh, taste this and that, and oh yeah, I can put this with that and this and that, and it's just an intellectual game for them where they get their taste. But here in the, with the devotees, it's actually Krishna's interaction in all those unlimited combinations. So we're talking about something very, very elevated, just simply, and the verse is talking about some aspect of Brahman or Hiranyagarbha or you know, the structure of the universe or that, and we're just saying, oh well, that's just basic, you know, let's get down to Krishna and the gopis and Braj, you know, in the Rasa dance. But the point is if they're saying that, means they're not on that platform. The point is all that is all there in every verse and every syllable you can find, because it being the Adi Ras, that means anything that's there in the parental has come from the extended from the conjugal Ras. It just has a different flavor. But the scenarios and the mechanics are there, but not quite as developed, not quite as refined. Then you have the what do you call it? The friendship Ras, so be expanding from that, and it'll have, yeah, you know, the same structure, but you know, less simple things. And then the servitorship will have, then you expand again in the Sandini potency, then you get the Shanta Ras, which will be expressing all those things can all go together and all that, and it's all great because Krishna is so wonderful that he has all these different situations and all these different arrangements and all that, and therefore he's the most fabulous. So, but it's all still based on the structure that's there. It's just what you're filling it in with, right? You know, the same situation, you know, that the mother is dealing with the son, same exact situation, exact situation. It's pretty straightforward. You know, it's either, oh, that's funny, or don't do that, or no, you should do like this. You know, or you know, whatever it is, it's very simple. But now, if it's that same situation and that with the husband, it has so many more nuances. You know, or the same situation with a friend, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, what's the big deal? You know, I'd say, yeah, don't be so stupid. You know, it just moves on. You know, and for the servitorship, then it's okay, these things happen, but you know, I have my duties, I do my duties, it doesn't matter what happens. And in Shanta Ras, it'll just be, look at the variety. It's so amazing how all this goes on, you know, the Lord's potencies and all these things like that. You know, or it's just, or if you're on the material platform, just in regular Rasa, then it'll be, you know, but he's a great person. You have to, you know, tolerate the other things. You know, he's a great musician and the best. And so, yes, he's a bit of a prima donna. So therefore, but you have to tolerate it backstage because that's life. But when he's on stage and he's performing, it's like no one's better. So that's what you see. You don't even consider it. You know? So you can see the same thing that might be going on as you come down through them. It gets simpler and simpler. And as you go up, then it gets more and more complex. But it's not that the situation has changed. It's how you see and deal. That's the foolishness or the misunderstanding or you know the lack of understanding of the Sahajiyas. They think that the kind it's a whole different thing. No, it's the same thing. It just has more complexities to it. That's all. You know, more things to do. It's just like, let's say we have a preparation that we're eating. We just have it, you know, in a little bowl and eating it in our hands, sitting on, you know, on the side of the, you know, whatever it is on the bench, you know, like that is set. But then we can take it where we take it a table and chair and then put it on the table and put it in a little bit more nice container, you know, but it's the same thing, but it adds something. Then we put a nice tablecloth, we put some, you know, just nice other arrangements that are there on the table and all that, and a little bit more, then it gets better. Then we add, lighting, and we add some music, and we add the waiter comes up all formal and all that, and dealing like this, and all that. It just adds. Everything adds. And then you're doing that because it's a special occasion. It's somebody's birthday, or it's some other, anniversary, or, some other, haven't met the person for a long time, then it adds another layer. Right? So each time it adds a layer, and okay, all the friends are going together, this, it's that, they haven't been together, but then somebody's paying. I'm paying for all, it adds another layer. So all these things, you can just keep adding layers to the same prep. What's in the bowl is exactly the same thing. But you added all these other things, it just expands the experience. So that's the point. Rasa is rasa. It has the mechanics that it works at. So the Sandini and Samvit aspects have the mechanics, but now, depending on how much rasa is, what kind of things come out of it and all that. That's why in Vraj, one set of mechanics, then all five rasas are fully absorbed. Everybody's taken care of. It's not that you have to have completely separate occasions. So that's the thing with those who are not knowing, then there are these, the sahajas, then they think, oh, it's a completely separate thing. We have nothing to do with that. No, it's the same thing. That's why you see in Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion, he's giving a situation where Krishna is coming into some situation and all five rasas are going on at once. He's looking over the gopis with this, and he's saying this to Mother Yashoda, and that went to this, and the coward friend, and that. There's two examples like that in Nectar Devotion where he's talking about all the rasas are going on at one time in the same situation. So it's very important because what's the one, what's what technically, what is the one situation? It's Krishna. He being Brahman is everything. He being Paramatma is how everything functions, the mechanics of how all things relate and work together, right? And like that, it just exists. Okay, that's Brahman. But Paramatma is that you have the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana of it. But then the whole point of it is Bhagavan means then you're going to have the Ananda of it, the Adini aspect. So it's him. He is the central feature of everything. That's what he says. He's the center of all relationships. So that's why it has to come down to it's not something else. No, it's him. You just have a different way of dealing with it. That's all. It gets subtler and subtler and finer and has, it has, the circle is greater. Like that. Okay. Yeah. So his point is here is that all these things may have been are there. But the point is because you're discussing other things along with it, putting the emphasis there, people are taking that. What's repeated, what's glorified, what's the beginning and end. People are not catching it. So therefore, you have to write the Bhagavatam, which all it does is point this out, verse by verse, word by word, syllable by syllable, that's all there is, pure devotion. And even that we don't catch. So therefore, then the acharyas, they give their commentaries, then we catch it. At least we should. We hope to catch it. Yeah, we're good? Yeah, okay. Anucheda 117. Tvam apyabhadra shruta vishrutam vibhoho samapyate yena vidham ubu Bhubhutsitam, prakyahi dukher muhur arditatmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushanti nanyata. Oh, omniscient Vyasadeva, please explain the glories of Krishna, by which the curiosity of persons already having so much knowledge will be satisfied. The wise do not consider that there is any other way to destroy the afflictions of the jivas tormented by suffering. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:5:40. Vidham means persons with Nard, knowledge. Nard spoke thus to Vyas.
So,
Here is that the glories by which curious persons already having so much knowledge, it means they're jnanis, they already know up to the level of a Brahman or Paramatma. But the glories of Krishna, that's the only way to destroy the actual afflictions of the jivas, going by suffering. The reason they're on the platform of moksha is suffering in the material world. And through knowledge, they've elevated themselves so they detach themselves to some degree that there's minimal trouble. But they haven't gone to the point of crossing into the positive. They brought it to neutral, but not to the positive, where now they are doing something that's actually of value for the jiva. So that's the point, is that that's what has to be done. That must be brought out. Anucheda 118. Oh, now I see why you say the next few, because I'm thinking there's only a page left. How do you say the next few anuchetas? Because they're only one verse anuchetas. Anucheda 118. In starting to preach the great Purana, Vyasa realized the samadhi, that bhakti was the highest good. This is shown in the first sandarbha in explaining the verse Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Srimad Bhagavatam 174. This is approved by the Lord in answer to the question asked in Srimad Bhagavatam 11:19:30. What is gain? Right? So then the verse is, lordship means my controlling power. Gain means gaining bhakti. Knowledge is nullifying what is not Atma in the jiva. Real modesty is dislike of sinful activities. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:19:40. The meaning is clear. The Lord spoke thus. Meaning clear. You don't have to speculate. Right? So bhakti is giving the highest good. And that's explained in the Bhakti Yogena Manasi, so that may be his meditation, right? That he understood, yes, about bhakti and how it's control, you know, connected with everything, everything's related, and so that becomes the most important aspect. And so here's that lordship means he controls. You know, someone says lordship, they're lord of, but how much do they control? He controls everything. Right? Gain means gaining bhakti, because you've gained so many things, they'll be lost. Bhakti is the only thing that's not lost. It's eternal. Then knowledge is nullifying which is not Atma in the jiva. It means anything where that you don't see the connection with the jiva, how the jiva is there, then that's nullifying that by that knowledge. So the first level is what's not the jiva. But then if we go further, then it is what is the jiva, right? What is not Atma, but so what is the jiva? So then that knowledge which shows what is the jiva, that's real knowledge. So the knowledge that shows what he's not and what he is, that's real knowledge. But the second, what he is, that's the devotional. And what he's not is giving up the misconceptions. The real modesty is dislike of sinful activities, because it's not that it's just by regulation or just by, you know, how you say, social status or other things like that, that therefore then one's not doing nonsense, but it's actually is you don't like it. You dislike it. And so because there's no interest in it, that's then real modesty. And that comes by identifying as the jiva. And that's because you've gained bhakti, because you see, you know, the position of Krishna. So everything's based on him. Yes. Oh. Anucheda 119. Vyasa considers to himself, perhaps the path of bhakti, pleasing to the most elevated devotees, has not been sufficiently described, and the elevated devotees alone are dear to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.31. Vyasa spoke thus the verse, right? So here he's looking at perhaps the path of bhakti pleasing the most elevated devotees has not been sufficiently described. It means he's shown how to engage in sakam karma yoga and then more elevated nishkam karma yoga, you know, like that. And, you know, showing how bhakti has the superiority as a general category, but he hasn't shown, you know, where the path of bhakti pleasing to the most elevated devotees, that pure devotional service hasn't been brought out. He's shown so many other aspects. even though he may be talking about pure devotional service, because he's one of the Mahajans, he knows this thing. But he's thinking, perhaps I haven't done it enough. In other words, the soft preaching has been so strong that people don't catch actually what's pure bhakti, right? Because so basically, that's what you can say is the Vedas are. He knows what's there, so it's been worded. That's the advantage. His soft preaching over, necessarily our soft preaching is means he hasn't removed the point of pure bhakti and devotion to Krishna and the real knowledge. He's just put an emphasis on other aspects so that you don't necessarily you don't it doesn't bother you if you have material desires. So gradually, step by step, over so many lifetimes, then one can start to elevate oneself. But he hasn't come to the point of what the most elevated devotees, which is pure bhakti, which is something you can do in one life. Therefore, it has to be brought more to the front. You say it pleasantly, but at the same time as it's more direct. But so indirect means it doesn't mean it's not there. So in the modern, sometimes the yoga, we just don't even mention Krishna. We don't even talk about Krishna. We talk about, vegetarian or this or being a nice guy or mode of goodness. So that's just a basically lack of seriously preaching Krishna consciousness. So Vyasadeva seriously preached it, but in such a way that people would be satisfied with just the lower levels of consciousness. So that aspect then we can see is he's saying perhaps the path of bhakti pleasing the most of the elder devotees has not been sufficiently described. And the elder devotees alone are dear to the Lord. So the other is that Krishna takes note. And so all devotees, of course, are there, but the ones that are most dear are the elevated devotees. So therefore, if you want to actually please Krishna, then you have to please the most elevated devotees. And so therefore, I must discuss the direct things. Vritti. Next, the unique characteristics, apurvata, of pure bhakti is emphasized, highlighting that the devotees of the Lord are conquered by him when they adhere to this path of unadulterated devotion. Anucheda 120. Okay. Many speakers teach the outstanding feature of Bhagavan. O conquered Lord, when you explain pure bhakti, the path which the devotees who meditate on you and experience bliss from you follow, and experience bliss from you follow for attaining prema. The devotees were conquered by you. Right here, now it's because we're always talking about there, because, oh, unconquered Lord, the devotees are conquered, by you, because he's the unconquered Lord. But at the same time, it's through bhakti. They become the Lord even becomes conquered. So this is not something that's discussed when you're dealing with these other features of Brahman and Paramatma. Even though you're dealing with the Bhagavan aspect, you don't necessarily bring it so much to that level. It's but even you're describing that point, the features that you're doing, it does like bring to that level, like that. He says here, the devotee is conquered by you when you explain pure Bhagavad Dharma. And Chitraketu spoke thus to Sankarsana. Right? So Chitraketu, then when he's seeing Sankarsana, then he's talking in all these different things on these levels, even though he's dealing with Sankarsana. So he's dealing with this aspect of the Chakravyuha. And so it'll be the Bhagavan feature, but it'll have some particular aspects to it. So this aspect of Bhagavan, now he's brought it up to here, because before he's just talking about the Lord and this and that. Now he mentions specifically Bhagavan. So Vritti. In the current Adhikarana, bhakti supremacy was affirmed by initially criticizing adherents of other paths for enduring needless suffering, despite the Lord proclaiming the devotee as foremost amongst yogis. Right? You have all these other paths of yoga, means karma, jnana, and astanga yogas. But he's already Lord's already said that the bhakti yogi is the best, but they're still going through all this needless suffering because there's something there, there's some distinguishment there. Yes, I have the most facility, or I have the most social respect and influence, or no, I have the greatest knowledge, and I have the greatest, respect beyond, what they have in the way of karma. All the karmis respect me and everything. And then the yogi is, no, but I have, so many, focus in my concentration and everything and that and, and all. And I've developed all these, mystic siddhis. And so therefore I am, special and all that. So that's why they're continuing the path of needless suffering and enduring all that, is because they want those, distinction, adoration, and profit. It may be very subtle, but, it may be very pious, but at the same time, it's still not pure devotion. Subsequently, bhakti was solidified as the abhideya through Tatparya Lingas in the Bhagavatam, highlighting its indispensability from inception to conclusion, right? So it's not that you have to do something else first, like there was a thing, you have to come to the goodness, then you can do bhakti. Yes, if you're in goodness, then pure bhakti is easier to do. If you're in passion, ignorance, there's always going to be a mix. But bhakti itself, the mechanics of bhakti can start from the beginning. You chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a saint or you're a rogue, you can chant. So that stays. Now your understanding of it, your attitude towards that changes. That's the whole, that develops. So that's the point, is that the mechanics of it is the same. What they do in Braj, the same mechanics are there. The same principles are there in Mahavaikuntha, are there in Vaikuntha, are there in Shiva Loka, are there in the Mahatattva with all these different levels in the material world on the 14 planetary. So they're all dealing with the same thing. The difference is it being directed towards Krishna, and, how refined is it? How much is it about just about Krishna? So in the beginning, it's about yourself, and you'll extend that to others. So you're a good guy because it's about me, but I take care of family and friends and community, and I work for the nation, the good for everybody, like that. I do my charity and, like that. But then it goes beyond, is that, you come to the platform of the Brahman, and so then you understand there. So it's still about yourself. That's the thing. It's still about yourself. So you can say, but they're very elevated, they're beyond, but it's still about themselves. They're still selfish because it's about them being liberated. And it's, the Lord may be there and the Lord is respected as the topmost, but they're still thinking about themselves. So bhakti means when it switches. So that's why when you see these devotees in Shantarasa and the great sages, their lifestyle and what they talk about and their view is basically very, what they talk about, it means their perspective is much the same in the features they're working with. But for the devotee, they take it beyond into Bhagavan. Now, Bhagavan becomes more important than themselves. They are a servant of the Lord, right? But it's about them appreciating this. But it's still in connection with Bhagavan. That's where the switch comes. That's why I see 11th canto. Then when they're talking, sometimes they're glorifying the saintly person because they're talking about the Shanta Bhakta. Or they're talking about just the good qualities that can be used in bhakti. And then other times they're talking about how they've missed the point. So it's just a matter of, in other words, the situation they're in is great for being engaged in bhakti, but if they're not engaged in bhakti, it's a waste of time, for the soul. Like that, so then we see is that they come up, and so then the Paramatma feature, how he controls everything and all that, and so he's great, and then the majesty comes in, and everything, so you appreciate the Bhagavan feature, but then that majesty aspect comes in, and then you're seeing, and so then you're experiencing and serving, in that, field or of the four liberations and all that. So it's, again, now because of possession, you're rendering service to the Lord, but there's still that little bit of yourself because of the liberations, but it's all connected to the Lord, so it's glorious. But you see, is that taking the natural step beyond Braja Bhakti is it's not about themselves. It's just what will please Krishna. That's all they're doing. And so their pleasure is Krishna's pleasure alone. So the points of liberation don't mean anything to them anymore. Therefore, pure unalloyed devotion. So that they're functioning in service to Bhagavan, that then is going to be pure devotional service. There's nothing else, nothing from the material to gain. But pure unalloyed means it's not even about the spiritual benefits you'll get. It's simply about the pleasure Krishna will get. So that's the point. If from beginning to end, bhakti is the thing. It doesn't matter which level you're at. It's not that I have to do something else first, or I have to become more renounced, or I have to become more knowledgeable. No, you know, or we have to become more professional, or we have to be liked by the karmis. No, you just have to perform bhakti. Everything else will come. A more detailed exploration portrayed pure bhakti as prema's component, a confidential essence in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, right? So bhakti is a component of prema. Since prema is known, but it's the bhakti that you're going to perform all the activities in creation to Krishna. That's actually the platform. It's not something else. So what's practiced in sadhana bhakti, right? You know, what do you call it? Vaidhi bhakti. Then Vaidhi sadhana bhakti is the same activities that are practiced in rag sadhana bhakti, are the same activities that are practiced in bhav sadhana, you know, in its five stages, are the same things that are done when one comes to prema. Like that. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, someone's, you know, just brand new and all this and all that, and they're cooking for Krishna. The technique is the same as what Mother Jashoda is using. Just she, you know, she knows more. She knows unlimited varieties of cooking and all that. But it's just that the depth of bhakti and how she's seeing Krishna. Right? Because here, you know, the one is saying, I have to get this done by this, by 12 o'clock, you know, a quarter to 12. So they make the plate and at 12. So I got to get this done and I have to cook this many preparations and all that. And this volume, so it fits in there and there's not too much left and I don't waste money and all that kind of stuff. But Mother, and so Mother showed us thinking, if I don't cook, then Krishna will starve. He'll die. You know, but otherwise technique is same. So that's the thing, the mechanical point. The Sankarsha Prajumna Aniruddha stays the same. It's just a matter of how much detail, which ones are preferred, you know, in what situations and all that. But the point is Vasudeva, the Abhideya, Bhakti is actually the central feature. The other three are there. So that's what's developing. Is it about us? Us? Is it about Krishna? Is it exclusively about Krishna? As directed by the devotees. Okay, bhakti's comprehensive nature was outlined, accessible to anyone regardless of conduct, knowledge, or progress, right? I mean, bhakti can be practiced at any point. Now, you want to make it more favorable, you improve the quality of your conduct, knowledge, and progress. Like that. But to say that because of conduct, knowledge, or progress, it can't be done? No. That means you don't understand the independence of bhakti. That's the rahasya, and it's always applicable. That's how Prabhupada is engaging people, that he himself can tell from the symptoms that this guy's not going to last. You know, they may be in a leadership position, maybe a sannyasi, maybe this and that, but this is how they're engaged. And then they're engaged so nicely, right? And being engaged so nicely, then they advance. And at some point they fall down and go away. There's nothing lost. So Prabhupada is willing to do it. While us, well, you know, we'll have our so-called higher standards, so we don't tolerate engaging anybody because no one's up to the standard, you know. So then, you know, it becomes a problem. Success was attainable by associates and eternal associates of the Lord, right? So you have people who associate, then you have the eternal associates wherever he goes, they always go with him, right? Verses from Narad Muni and Vyasadeva revealed bhakti's ultimate benefit for humans. Finally, the distinctiveness of pure bhakti was emphasized, as devotees were conquered by the Lord through unwavered devotion. Right? So this is about bhakti. So they're conquered by that, they're absorbed in that, and they're completely surrendered. And then you'll see as we go, we get into, you know, either further in the bhakti or we get into preeti, then you see how Krishna is conquered. And okay, then summary of Adhyaya. This Adhyaya focused on establishing bhakti as the highest process, Abhideya, to attain the absolute truth. First, the author stated that out of all types of rituals, worship of the Supreme Lord was the topmost and the purpose of all Vedic knowledge, right? So you have all varieties of levels of rituals, but the actual topmost is that is given is to use all the rituals to serve Krishna. Bhakti yoga is proven as superior to karma and jnana by showing how karma and jnana ultimately aims for bhakti, right? Because they have that as the component. Means I want to, the better I want to do my karma and jnana, the better I have to do it that bhakti of worshiping, you know, Ishwara, like that, then I'll get. So that's what it's aimed at. And bhakti offered transcendental results, not offered in other processes. So even though they're offering that because it's not for bhakti, I mean, it's not actually for bhakti, once you get the material result you wanted, then the bhakti disappears. You know, but it has to be there to work. It's the only thing that can get results. But then if you follow the path of bhakti, you're doing it as performing bhakti in the mood of actually it's to please Krishna. So you get the transcendental result that's eternal. And at the same time, because it followed the mechanics, because like we said, mechanics are mechanics, you get the mechanical result. You went in the kitchen to cook, the mechanical result is you have something cooked to eat. So whether you're a gross materialist, whether you're a pious person, whether you're a great yogi, or whether you're a devotee of Krishna, the preparation will come out cooked. The difference is the level of consciousness and the eternal benefit as opposed to simply the temporary. It is also, so that means bhakti gives both, while the material only gives one, the temporary one. It was also emphasized that one should perform exclusive worship of the Supreme Lord, rejecting worship of the demigods, because there's no need. He's the potency that makes them all work anyway. That's what the point in the Chandogya Upanishad, and, you know, that's mentioned in Vedanta Sutra, is that Indra, when Indra was asked, about the absolute truth and how to attain that absolute truth, and he said worship Indra. He didn't mean himself, the materialist take like that. He meant worship the actual Indra, where he gets his power from. In other words, the Supreme Lord. So devotional service of the Supreme Lord is actually how you'll understand the absolute. Next, devotional service to Vasudeva was described by the conclusion of all scriptures. Okay. Here, the author systematically presented how each canto of Srimad Bhagavatam propounded the superiority and transcendental nature of bhakti. So each canto is, you know, dealing with all these different features of the Lord. There's some central question has been asked. So then, you know, like the first canto, questions have been asked is, okay, you know, what is the absolute and the ultimate? And, you know, what form has that taken? And so Srimad Bhagavatam, how did it come to be spoken? So therefore, then you start with, you know, Purikit's appearance with Uttara and that whole pastime, how the Lord was involved. So it could have just been, you know, he was born in this. No, but you show the Lord's involvement, how he was a devotee. And then how, you know, then Vyasadeva and then his son Sukadeva, and how this Purikit Maharaj, who is a devotee of the Lord, and this Sukadeva Goswami, who became a devotee of the Lord, both they came together, and there is spoken the Bhagavatam. So that then ends the first canto, right? You know, they can't, then from second canto, then are the questions asked by Parikit Maharaj. And so then it naturally takes it up and through the whole thing. But it's still based ultimately, you know, on the original questions by the sages. You see that their six questions go throughout the whole of the Bhagavatam. But at the same time as... That point about it, how did it come to be spoken, that's taken care of in the first. So whatever is going on, they're always talking about Krishna from all angles. All other scriptures are confirmed with this statement that bhakti was the highest process, right? And other scriptures. So you see as we progress, you know, that, you know, generally when you're at the beginning, there's quoting things later. But when you get to the end, you see they're quoting from the beginning. So that means the point was always there, just that, let's say we're studying six canto, we're only up to that level of that bhakti vai bhav understanding, that kind of mentality, And so, therefore, then one will appreciate the points being made from that level and how it's progressing, you know, getting more advanced in bhakti. But then when you get to 11th canto, then they're quoting points in sixth canto. And then you look back at it when it's pointed out by the Acharya that that devotee was functioning on the that topmost platform of bhakti, but he was setting an example for those who were on a lower level of bhakti. But he himself was performing the topmost bhakti. And then you see is, oh, so pure bhakti has been described all along. The whole thing is just going up and it's taking one up through. No, it's taking pure bhakti and showing how you start here and then slowly, slowly go up. But pure bhakti is always there. So it's like you're starting with pure bhakti and then it becomes revealed at the end. It's not that it keeps changing what you're doing and then finally you're given pure bhakti. No, bhakti is there. But we only see a little bit. So then, you know, one petal is open, then another petal and another. And then finally at the end, then you get the whole lotus. To substantiate this point, a comparative analysis was done of the various yoga processes. Through this comparison, bhakti was unanimously established as the superior process. It was the only independent process, right? Because bhakti functions on its own. It already contains karma, jnana, and yoga. While karma, jnana, and yoga can't function without bhakti. It's like your toaster won't work without the electricity, right? Whereas karma and jnana depend on bhakti for the results. The statements of the great sages from Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures were cited in this regard. Finally, bhakti was proven as the Abhideya by analyzing Bhagavatam using the six types of proof, Tatparya Lingas, and elaborating on the Chaturshloki, the seed of Bhagavatam. Thus, all the wise persons and elevated devotees engaged in exclusive worship of the Supreme Lord through the process of devotional service, right? The Chaturshloki, that was what was given to Brahma, you know, when he wanted to know what's the essence. He's heard the whole Vedic literature. What's the essence? Krishna gave the Chaturshloki. So now, then Vyasadeva thought, okay, I should take that and make that the basis for this whole literature to bring out that exclusiveness of pure bhakti. And so you see the elements of the Chaturshloki are throughout the Bhagavatam. And you even see they're throughout literature. Bhagavatam, there's so many of them, and you take all the Puranas, and then you get a handful of shlokas that pointed out. You know, the more sattvic, the more shlokas are there. The next, so then that ends the summary, and then it's mentioning the next adhyaya focuses on the various characteristics of bhakti, highlighting its all auspicious nature, extolling the transcendental results achieved through its practices, addressing offenses during the performance of bhakti, and delineating qualifications for engaging in akinchana bhakti. 1, 2. So these are all the different, qualifications. For.
Yeah, there will be these different adhikaranas.
No, they're all the adhikaranas. Okay.
Not in this format, Maharaj. Actually, the qualification for engaging akinchana bhakti gets his own adhyaya because I didn't see it properly. There, Jiva Goswami mentioned a new section commences. So,
Okay. So then you can adjust this however you want to adjust.
Yeah, I adjusted. If you have the next book, then we'll see.
Yes. It just showed up last night. So just in time. Like that. So then we have the next, and it's even bigger and better. Yeah, so part three. So does part three finish the Bhakti Sandarbha, or will there be more?
There will be at least two more after this, if not three.
Wow. Okay, so the Bhakti Sandarbha is actually quite big compared to those other Sandarbhas. Okay, very good. So then we'll start from here then tomorrow. Right? Today's Thursday. Yes. So we'll start tomorrow. Jai. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.